Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, with God's help, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, I'd like to begin with verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye go also? Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. May God bless our reading. Sing them over to me again, the wonderful words of life. We sang the hymn last night, and I thought of the hymn writer as he's pulling from Scripture the words that lead you and me to faith. They lead us to duty. The words of life, the wonderful word of life. And clearly the entire focus of the hymn is on Jesus himself. And he says in this chapter that he that the words that he speaks are the words that give life. So the word that he speaks is a word of life. So that would imply that the words that are spoken by others outside of the word that he brought brings death. He is light. The others would be darkness. And so, even as the brother prayed, and I mentioned that we who, let's say we don't have much in our physical life, but if we have Christ, the thought was conveyed in the prayer that we're richer than a king. You know, if you look at the wealthiest man in the world today, who's fast approaching $1 trillion in worth, he pales in comparison to the wealth of Solomon at his peak. And yet, you and I, we could be broke and are far richer than Musk or Solomon ever dreamed of being. The question is, do you feel that? We can say that. It sounds good. But it doesn't make you feel good unless you believe it and experience it. And that's what Jesus in this chapter is speaking about. Jesus is not speaking about communion here. He hadn't instituted the Lord's Supper yet. He's speaking in metaphors of partaking of him. That unless you and I partake of him entirely, we will never experience that life transformation, that duty, that faith that this wonderful word of life brings me to. And in this chapter, we have a picture of disciples. Think about this. Disciples who are choosing to leave him. Walking away from Jesus. Is that something that you and I ever experience? Walking away from him? Why? Why did they walk away from him? Because something that he said was hard. It was a hard saying. And you know what? They walked away from him. So they left life and walked into death. They left heaven and walked into hell. They walked away from light and into darkness. Because they walked away from Jesus. Now, do you and I ever walk away from him? Are his sayings too hard for us? But you know what? We're not going to do with this as these disciples did. In the sense that we're going to turn our back and just walk away. We hang around. And the sayings of Jesus, the hard sayings that require duty and faith, are too hard for me. And I change those meanings to make them fit me. And so what I've done, I've walked away from him. I've walked away from heaven and straight to hell. I've walked away from the light and straight to darkness and from life and into death. We cannot, dear ones, what is it about sin that you and I have a struggle with? To understand its total depth of the separation that it creates between a holy God and us. We don't understand our sin. We have the devil who takes your sin and mine, and he accuses us. The very sin that he accuses us of, he wants to destroy us with. His accusations are to bring death to us. God works completely differently. God will still take that same sin and convict you and convict me. Not to bring death, but to bring life. So when you and I are convicted of sin, convinced of it, we're convinced of sin through the reading of the Word and the application of His Word to our hearts. That conviction is meant by God to heal. And the accusation is meant to destroy. Jesus here, he says that they were murmuring amongst themselves. And he said, don't murmur among yourselves. And he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Okay. So what does that say to you, my dear friend outside of Christ? Can you sit there today, right now, read this word and says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him? Are you going to sit there right now and say, God did not call me? God does not violate your free will with this statement. Because in John 3, just a few chapters earlier, he tells us how he calls you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He calls you with his love. And so, for us to say, I'm not called, is a lie from hell. No, it's not, well, in God's time, I'll do it when I'm 50. That's in God's time. No, it's not. God is calling you today by his love. You will either read that chapter where Nicodemus is having this conversation with Jesus. And God will convict you of sin to heal you. Not to say, oh, I'm not going to call you today. You keep on sinning. Would God ever do that? Tell you, don't come today. Come later. Never. He's violating your will. The call is universal to all mankind. And so when you and I respond to his love, we are coming to him because the Father who has sent Jesus to draw us. How is he drawing us? By his cords of love. By us being exposed to the gospel message is the call of God. By a moment, even when you're not in front of the gospel, you could be somewhere remotely all on your own. And a word from God, a sight, something can trigger a thought of heaven, and that brings you to God's love. And you can either say no, or you can respond. And he says, the one who is drawn to me, he says, I will raise him up at the last day. In the resurrection, Jesus will raise you and me up. who have been drawn to him by his love. We partake of him, of his flesh and blood. In other words, our lives are entirely immersed into Christ. His life is precious to us. I don't partake of Jesus, as he says here, like your fathers did in the wilderness and are dead. That manna that they ate, it wasn't something that was giving them life. It was life-sustaining. But it didn't separate them from death. Ultimately, we're Christ, partaking of him, being drawn to him by his love, partaking of him, he gives us life. He says, he that, and he draws us our attention, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Who says this? From the one who flows the words of life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The disciples, there was an inner circle and there was an outer circle, apparently. Because the 12 disciples stayed with him, even though he says one is a devil. One is a devil. That's what he said. But the others that were around him, they left him. And Jesus says, and he knew within himself that they were murmuring. And he said, does this offend you? So, what constituted them leaving him? Can you and I leave our Lord as the, let's say, the loose disciples did? If you and I do not come to Christ because we are drawn to him by his love, if you and I, let's say that I will bow down before God in such deep humility and because I want something from him. Maybe let's speak of something that is maybe something that all of us find ourselves probably many times praying for is health. If I think I can gain something from him, I'm going to give a little bit more of myself into that prayer and into the seeking of him. So these disciples thought that there was something that they were going to get from him. It's not a bad thing. They wanted to be partakers of his blessings. But they weren't drawn by his love. They never experienced the transformation that can take place in a heart when we partake of his flesh and his blood, when his life is dear to us. And we look at the life that he came to live. He said that the Jews actually strove amongst themselves. They were arguing amongst themselves. And Jesus doubles down. And he says, verily, verily, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Do you feel that you have life, my brother, sister? Life, eternal. Do we understand the ugliness of sin? What if God were to right now enumerate all of your sins to you? All of them. Would we feel as we're the disciples that have walked away from him? I just heard a short, brief clip of two men debating. And one was claiming to be a Christian. He's saying, how can you live that life you're living if you claim to be a Christian? And he says, I sin every day. He goes, so then where is your power from? What are you a Christian about? See, he didn't partake of the life of Christ. That life-giving, power-giving life words of Christ, if they don't mean what they are to you and me, we've left them. And unlike these disciples who walked away, we walk away too. But we still feel attached, still hoping to receive some kind of blessing from him. Imagine hearing, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. He gave it on Calvary. He said, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have this everlasting life. And he gave, and he says, the bread that I will give is my flesh. On the cross, he says, which I will give for the life of the world. Can you say, Jesus did not call me? Are you going to blame Jesus for not responding to his call of love? And you know, brothers and sisters, that goes to us too. And so Jesus asks, when they murmured, he says, does this offend you? He said, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So he's declaring here that he came from heaven. He ignores them as they keep saying, well, this is Joseph's son. We know. So they're really claiming that he's an illegitimate child, and therefore would be under extreme disciplines of the Mosaic law. And Jesus says, I came down from heaven. That's where I was. And he says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up? And his inner circle did see him after his resurrection ascend up into heaven. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You know, how often will we, at the expense of life, it says, it's the spirit that quickeneth. It's the spirit that giveth life. So it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. How often do we, at the expense of life, in the spirit, pursue the desires of the flesh, which profits something, a little bit, says it profits nothing. But the words, the wonderful words, sing them over to me again. I want to hear them again. Is that what those words are to us? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And it says that Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew that even in that inner circle, there was one that was going to betray him. They all denied him, but one betrayed him. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, we could be coming to church every Sunday. We could come religiously. I use that word intentionally. Religiously here, every Sunday. And not be walking with him no more. Jesus turns to his 12, will ye also go away? You know, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can you go but to the Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I can't find that anywhere outside of you, Lord. I can't find it anywhere else. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It's my prayer, brothers and sisters and dear friends, that as Simon Peter responds to Jesus' question. And you know, I believe, let's think about it. Does Jesus have perfect insight? Having perfect insight into your life and mine, perfect. He can enumerate all your sins to you right now. And he brings them to, and he convicts you. He convicts you, not to destroy you, but to heal you. And so he convicts and he says, will you go away also? Is it too hard of a saying for you to become meek, to humble yourself, to go and to ask for forgiveness, to repent, to respond to my call of love to save you? Are you going to go away? Do we even hear him asking? Peter heard him and responded, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere else. What else is there outside of Christ? What is there? It's death, it's darkness. And so, as we reflect upon the wonderful words of life, dear ones, it's up to you and me to pursue them. He left them for us to read, to receive the comfort, the admonishment, the questions, and to bring us the convictions that will bring us back to him. And so, really, dear ones, may that really be, I thought as we sang that hymn, may it really truly be a heart's desire. Sing them over to me again. I want to hear them again. Lord, I want to know about you more, again. You know how children, when you do something they don't do, and they just go, again, again. And they just want to keep going. It's not enough. Again, again. Are his words that to us? If they are, we have eternal life. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.